take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12, verse number 20. John chapter 12, verse number 20. Anybody need a worksheet tonight? Get a worksheet. Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. One down front here. And one over here. Grab one of those. Sean, if you can. John chapter 12, verse number 20. I'm going to read through verse number 27, and then think back to 28, and kind of as an introduction, and then we'll cover the rest of those as we go along. We read them last week, and we got about halfway done that message, so here we go. John chapter 12, verse number 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." The feast they're speaking of is Passover. This is the last Passover that Jesus was a part of. This is the Passover where he will be crucified. We just had the big Make Israel Great Again rally at the when Jesus came walking in, and that was just in verse number 12. And so there's a big crowd there, and people have come in from all over the world, really. And these were Greeks. Now, we think maybe they were actually Greeks that had come to know Christ, had come to know God, Jehovah. And they came up to worship, but they could have been just from, in other words, not Israel area. They could be Jews from just a non-Israel area that have been, use of a better term, Greekified. You know how that goes. And but anyway, they consider them Greeks. Verse 21, "The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." And the answer that Jesus had to, "We would see who we would see you, we would find out who you are, we want to come to know who you are." His response was, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come." Now, again, as opposed to many times in this passage, in this book so far, where he said the hour was not yet come. And he had slipped through the fingers of those who wanted to kill him and everything else, and over again, because his hour had not yet come. He has an hour to come, a time to come, a moment. You know, every dog has his day. Well, this is his hour. This is his time. And he says, "The hour has come," watch what he says, "that the Son of Man should be glorified, seen for who he is, given credit for who he is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And again, we talked about this last week, but you say, well, if he's going to be glorified, what good is it going to be dead? He says, you're going to see who I am because of the way I die, because of my death. You're going to see who I am in the midst of that death. Verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." He says, I've got different priorities. I've got a different plan. God has a bigger plan for me, and he's got a big plan for you. And we think that being glorified is being hailed as the king and given a great honor and given a new car and a gold watch. And he says, no, I tell you, you're going to find out who I am by what I do, and you're going to see what I do when I get to the cross. He says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and bring where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if man serve me, him will my Father honor." So you could say this, we will see who you are. All those who say they know Christ, we're going to see who you are by what you're seeking. If you're seeking the praise and the honor and the gold watch and the pat on the back, we know who you are. If you're seeking to give your life so that others may live, you also see who you are. He says, if you want to be like me, walk in my shoes. Do what I do. Put your feet where my feet go. Verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." He said, now, I just got finished telling you, being glorified, showing you what I am, is actually going to cost me my life. Now, I'll be honest with you, you know what he's saying? are really not in the mood to go on the next load here because I know what's coming. But so what am I going to say? Save me from this hour? Of course not. It says, this is the hour I came for. God has a plan for me, he's saying. And I need to work that plan, do the plan as the way God said to do it. If I'm going to stand before him one day and see and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he asked us to follow his steps as well. We do right. And as long as we're doing right and it's not our time to come, not our time to go, and it's not our hour, we don't have to worry about anything. We're going to still be here. But we can be doing right, and our hour may come. But what are we going to do? Throw it all away, having followed him this far, and then say, no, I'm not going to follow him any further? The first martyr was Philip. Sounds like you get the idea. He was a young man, full of the Holy Spirit, had the face of an angel, and knew the Word of God. And he said, what a pity that he martyred him. Well, no, he just glorified the Father in the way that he did this. He said, don't lay this to their account. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, just like Jesus. They say he stood up and had like the voice of an angel. He said he could see into heaven and see Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Not sitting, even though that's where he goes, to sit at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus stood up when Stephen took his last breath. He said, come on, son. You did exactly what I needed you to do. He said, what a terrible thing. What a waste. No. It pricked the heart of Paul. And God wanted to use Paul to give the gospel to the Gentiles. You know what? Because Stephen was willing to die in a righteous and holy manner, we got to get saved. We were allowed to get saved because he died, pricks Paul's heart. Paul takes the gospel to the Gentiles, and here we are, centuries later. No wonder Jesus stood up and said, come on home. Now, what he had to do was hard for a few moments there. And then it was all glory. It's okay. Verse 28, Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let's pray. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. It's kind of part number two, Mr. Jack. Do you hear the voice of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help me to accomplish what we need to accomplish tonight and speak to our hearts. May we be willing to hear the voice of God. I need your Holy Spirit again. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to use last week, you got on your paper there, I filled in the words from last week, and I'm going to use that as our introduction. Everyone is within the earshot of the voice of God. And we read those verses. Everybody stood there, heard it. But they didn't all hear the same thing. Some of them said they heard the voice of an angel. Some said it thundered. But the fact is, there was a voice from God, from heaven, saying, I have both glorified and glorified again. It has to be the Father because Jesus says, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I. Now, I'm sorry. He said, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have. So who's talking? The Father. And the Father says, I've glorified it before. I'm going to glorify it again. Now, they've seen who you are and what you've done in your life. Now they're going to see who I am within the context of your death. But he actually speaks the words. Now, when he speaks the words, do we know who he is? Now, listen. He said, Jesus says in verse 30, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. What he's saying there is, I know who I am. That voice did not come for Jesus' sake, to give a little boost in the back and a pat on the back and a little encouragement. He knows who he is. Listen, we know for sure that he knew who he was since at least he was 12. There's all kinds of debate whether he knew before that or not. I don't know. I think he always did, but I don't know. He was a kid. When he was 1 month old, did he know? I don't know. You know, those are the kind of questions will fry your brain, and really doesn't matter when it's all said and done. But he knew who he was. He said, the Lord did not say that for my sake. He said it for your sake. He says, I know who I am. Do you know who I am? Or he says, I'm listening. Are you listening? I think some folks are so doubtful that God will guide them that they don't even believe it when he does. Well, that can't be right. That doesn't make sense. Well, a lot of times it made sense. It wouldn't take faith. Now, I'm not saying go out on some deep end on some things, but I believe that, and I'll get to this, but I really believe that if you truly put God on a spot where he needs to tell you, or you're not moving, then if he wants you to move, he'll tell you. I mean, I say move into action of some type. So, do you hear with understanding, or do you work it off as just a random inarticulate rumbling? When God stirs your heart, when he stirs your soul, are you willing to believe in the Lord? Are you willing to have ears to hear? Or do you not have ears to hear, and the Word of God just doesn't make sense? All it is a lot of noise to you. Some people don't like to hear the Word of God, but it's like noise. And of course, this is how the preaching of the Word of God is to some folks. This is how the reading of the Word of God is for some folks. They open up the Bible and don't get anything out of it. It's just noise, just a lot of random words. I'll guarantee you, most of us, because we go to the Word of God and say, well, I'll see what I like and what I don't like. I'll decide whether I'm going to follow it or whether I'm not going to follow it. I'm going to decide whether it's going to make an effect on my life or whether it's not. Now, if in your heart, and you know when you have or not, you go to God and say, Lord, if you show me something in the Word of God, you make it clear, I'm going to go with it. I'll do it if there's something I'm supposed to do. I'll believe it if there's something to believe. I'll stop it if there's something I'm supposed to stop. If you make it clear, that's what I'm going to do. You do that. That gets scary, doesn't it? Especially if you say, well, what are you going to ask me to do? Nothing that's not good for you. You say you're going to do it, I think you'll do it. Number two, everyone must decide whether to listen or not. He says, now is the judgment of this world, now is the prince of this world. The Lord doesn't talk just to hear himself talk. What God has to say is life if you take it, and it's death if you refuse it. You need to decide, I'm doing anything. I'm not doing anything until God makes it clear. And if it never makes it clear, then it's his fault. You've heard me say this. I said so often. I've been kind of reprimanded for saying it, but I'm sorry. It's still a good saying. God knows I'm stupid. He knows everything that I don't know, and he knows all the things. Not only does he know all the things that I don't know, but he knows I don't know them. Now, if I keep my nose in the book and I keep my heart right with him, he will reveal to me what he wants me to know when the time comes. If he can make the donkey talk, he can make me talk. If the word of God can come out of the donkey's mouth, then the word of God can come out of my mouth. If the donkey can be directed by God, I can be directed by God. Not a whole lot of difference there. Everyone has an opportunity, and no one has an excuse. Everybody is allowed to hear from God, and no one has an excuse. Now, the fact is, a lot of times, it's right now the Word of God. But again last time, if for no other reason, creation itself declares His glory, pronounces the speech of who he is, and there's no place in the world at any time of the day that you cannot go out in creation and see who he is. To deny God standing in the middle of creation is just plain rebellion. You can say what you want, it's just plain rebellion. The greatest of these expressions of God, of course, is Jesus himself. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto him. That word draw means to choose. By the way, there's the election of God. He's already elected every single one of you. Why does he use that term? Because he elected you individually. Now, I know we can go to the polling place and say Republican. Just vote straight Republican. I don't know who it is, but Republican or Democrat. God help you. I'm sorry. You can do that, but technically you're voting for individual people. Well, God knows exactly who he's voting for, and he says, I'm for you. And I'm for you and you and you and you and you. And when I died on the cross, I died for you, and you 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 and you. In fact, there's nobody in here I didn't die for. And he can name all our names. And our middle names, if you don't want anybody else to know our middle names and our last names and what the pet name that Mama had when we were three, and he knows exactly who we are, and he voted for us. He will choose all men unto him. I will draw all, if I be lifted up, and he will, he says, I'm going to draw all men to know me. And, of course, creation shows us who he is. And Romans 1 says we're without excuse. Now, you see, there's some people who don't have a problem with doing this. I know, he gave them over to a reprobate mind, Romans 1. He let them go. But he gave them a chance. Number 4, preconceived notions bring confusion. Is Jesus the Messiah or not? Sometimes we think we have something figured out and we don't. And the people perceive that, well, this is this and this and that, and he can't be God because of this and so forth and so on. So listen, let God be true and every man a liar. And we must know that everything, and we think we know everything, but we don't. We need to read and listen and expect God to speak to us. Letter E, the people had decided that what they needed. And now the Lord is saying that he needs to save us from our sin, which changes our actions, which changes our circumstances. Changes in the government's not going to change the morality of our nation. If we get to slide in a bunch of conservative, watch me, if we can slide in a bunch of conservative politicians and we do not do anything to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, the natural inclination is for society to go further away from God. So even if we slide in a majority this time, but if we don't make use of that window of opportunity God has given us to bring the morality of the nation back to him through knowing Christ as their Savior and become a new creation in Christ, it is only a matter of time until there's more of them than there are of us, and we're stuck. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be more atheists, going to be more antichrists, if you will, than there are those who are willing to go along with it. At least we've got enough folks here who are traditionally conservative, have what they call traditional American values, which, by the way, are biblical values because it was built on the Word of God. But if we do nothing in the context of what we have, we're going to lose. So the Lord was the coming Savior. He must change our ways. We think that we change our schools, we're going to change the outlook of our lives, but we've got to change the hearts of the children. And number 5, liberty. Well, letter G. In order to change our ways, our hearts must change. Our hearts will not change until we are made into new creations in Christ. And we will not be made new creations in Christ until we're willing to receive the living Word of God. And there's liberty and freedom, number 5, right in front of us, if they'll take it. He says, yet a little while, the light's with you. Walk while you have the light. You know what I'm saying? For a little while, we have a window open. We better go out that window, go through that door of opportunity while it's open, or we're going to miss it. And we're going to be in worse shape. And old Satan is going to get a hold of some folks, and they're going to come back with a vengeance. I mean, you got, listen. The comedy hour is coming back on tonight. And they're all going to stand there, no matter what they don't agree with each other, but all going to say, there's one thing we agree on. We've got to get out the current president. Because he's destroying our nation. That's what they're going to say. That's what they've said all the other four times, five times, whatever it was. They think it's a terrible thing, what he's doing. Somehow they deny a lot of the stuff that's happening. But that's just the way it's going to be. That's the way they are. And so the fact is, they want to go back into, and day one, they want to replace this. Day one, they want to replace this. We're going to do this. We're going to change this back. We're going to change this back. Day one. And the fact is, if he gets in four more years, what happens then? The nation is so fickle. There are some people who think it's the best thing to do is to keep a balance. So we had a conservative for 8 years. We had a liberal for 8 years. So it's time to have a liberal for 8 years again. That's what they're going to say. We had a liberal 8, conservative 8. Now it's time for a liberal 8. They think that's how you keep everything balanced. You don't balance right with wrong. Now, I know not everything the Republicans do is right, and everything the Democrats do is necessarily wrong, but there is a general lineup. Now, number 6, this is new. They refused to believe. They had the liberty to do it, but they refused to believe. They refused to hear the word of God, listen, as the voice of God. I didn't write that on your paper, but that's a good one. They refused to hear the word of God as the voice of God. There are people who say, well, you worship that book. I don't worship the book, but this is the mind of Christ. These are the thoughts of God. This is the word of God. This is the revelation of God to man. Now, the fact is, you would say, I was just bitten by man. That's a man talking. Well, it doesn't matter what you think, because you just told me that listening to man doesn't count. So I'm not going to listen to you either. This is the word of God. There's nothing, nothing. I'm going to get into all that tonight, but it's amazing what this book has gone through. Listen to verse 37. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They wouldn't believe, they refused to entrust, they refused to give credit. That's what it means, where it was earned, where it was needed. John is saying in such a way, it's almost as if he's saying, what other evidence did they need? They've seen his manner, they've seen what he does. They've seen how he fulfills the prophecy. They called him the King of Israel. They had seen a lot of things. What more evidence do you need? But it says that they had done so many, yet they believed not. And that word believe, that gives the idea of refusing to give proper credit to. You know what? That sounds like Romans 1. When they knew him as God, they refused to glorify him as God. The Lord gave him over to a reprobate mind. Verse 38 says that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? What does that mean? He says, the arm of the Lord has been revealed. We can see what God can do through the greatest expression of who God is, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, if you don't believe me for my words, at least believe me for my work's sake. He says that what God can do was revealed through Christ. The arm of God has been revealed, and yet who's willing to believe it? No. Therefore, they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he said, saw his glory and spake of him. Now, I want to explain this to you. People say, well, they didn't have any choice. God predestined them. Listen to me. The same sun that hardens bricks melts butter. It's not the light, nor even when it's turned up, it makes heat. It's the item that's receiving it. Have you ever heard somebody say, "He made me mad"? Not my fault, he made me mad. Well, it is your fault you got mad. I know I shouldn't. But I read that doggone advice column in the newspaper every day. And more and more and more and more and more, people will say things like, "Well, my partner that I'm living with doesn't clean the house up, and they make messes, and I'm having to do the dishes, and sometimes they don't pay the bills, and I'm having to make up the difference." And be honest with you, I don't know what to do. How can I keep from becoming resentful? Well, yeah, first thing, you ought to run. Should have run a long time ago, because I bet you that's not the first time, you know. You know, it's like, there's this lady at work that's forever telling me how to do my job. And the fact is, she doesn't know what she's talking about. How can I keep from getting angry? Don't. Forgive. What she's saying is, "I can't help it. You punched my buttons. And you turned the wrong things on. And now I'm mad. It's all your fault." Well, they shouldn't push your buttons, but what if they do? See, that's the mentality that we have these days, but that's exactly how we work. You say, "Well, he yelled at me and insulted me, so what was I going to do?" So I punched him in the nose. What? What happened to walking away? "Well, I can't do that." So the fact is, they were very, if you watch it, everything they've done, it's full of pride. And so all Jesus had to do was say, "Oh, by the way, did you know I'm the boss? I'm God. You're not the boss of me." How many little kids have said to another kid, "You're not the boss of me"? If you have more than one kid in your house, you've heard it. One of them has turned around and all of a sudden played mama. And he always said, "You're not the boss of me. You're not mama." And you know that's exactly what the Pharisees said to Jesus. You're not God. In fact, look at you. You see how you're dressed? You don't even have a place to sleep tonight. We know how your mama got pregnant. You didn't have a daddy. Now you're trying to come up with this crazy story that now you're the son of God. And yet, there was enough evidence to prove he was. See, we can choose not to get mad. We can choose not to rebel. By the way, you know what makes your spouse mad. And you know what their response is going to be. So don't go there. But on the other hand, if your spouse goes there, you still have a choice. You don't have to. Many people are not willing to admit this. They blame the response on the one that they interacted with. Okay, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart by doing things in just a way that he refused to humble himself and submit. But the Lord already knew who Pharaoh was. In fact, you read up those passages, it says, a few times it says the Lord hardened his heart. A couple of places it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Well, which one's true? They both are. God knew. God didn't get in his heart and make it hard. But he knew how Pharaoh was going to react. It was still Pharaoh's choice to respond negatively or not. And Isaiah had foretold this exact event, and yet they refused to see it as such. He told them. They knew it. They read Isaiah. Who hath believed thy report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? I can almost guarantee you, I wasn't there, but I can almost guarantee the Holy Spirit breezed that through their brain. And they refused it. I can almost guarantee you. Next thought. Some folks seek the praise, the approval of men over the praise of God. Some refuse to accept the truth if it goes against the crowd and their popularity. Letter C. Some believe, but were not ready to confess and profess. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, as many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me on the side here say this too. Don't beat yourself up when you lovingly give the gospel to someone. You live a godly life, you've got a good testimony, and folks still hate you or turn on you because of the gospel. It's their choice. It's their choice. You may weep over them, but watch this. Don't push. Find an opportunity that you make sure that they know the truth. And then let it soak in. And then let your testimony water it. And then you also be surprised as you pray for them how many other folks the Lord will send their way to water that seed. And you will also find that sometimes the Lord will plow their field so that the soil is ready to accept the seed. Well, I don't want that to happen to them. Well, if the other choice is to spend eternity in hell or even a year in a hospital, which is better for them? Be better for them to spend a year in a hospital than eternity in hell. You guys, well, I don't want any of that either. I don't either. And maybe it won't come to that. But what we want is for them to know the truth. Now, don't punch them in the nose and put them in the hospital. That's not what I'm saying. Lord takes care of those kind of things. I'm just saying God plows their field, makes the soil ripe for the seed. You plant the seed, or maybe the seed's been laying there on top. You gave it to him, then he plows their field, and that seed goes down and it's, oh, man, that's probably what I need right about now. And somebody else comes along and waters that thing. Before long, this person you thought would never want to receive Christ all of a sudden is giving you a call. Hey, what time's your services over there at church? I don't know. I just kind of been thinking about coming over. Man, I've heard it more than once, many times. Number 7, to not believe in Jesus is to simply not believe the Father. The Father. If I believe in God, then why don't you believe what he said? Jesus said, you believe in God? That's good. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. James said, you believe in God? That's good, but the devils also believe and tremble. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. What you're really believing in is God. Now, wait a minute. The word of God, we just read it there. The word of God in Isaiah said, here he is. Now, you're not going to believe this, but here he is. You can see the strong arm of God, but here he is, and you don't want to believe him, but here it is. He says, you know it. You've seen me. I've done many miracles in front of you. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I don't believe you. No. Don't you blame it on me. Your problem is you're not willing to believe God exactly what he just told you, what he's proven you. You've seen it with your own eyes. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. You're all mad at me. I didn't come here to hurt anybody. I didn't come here to make anybody mad. I didn't come here to send anybody to hell. I came to bring you life. But the fact is, the word of God, all these scriptures, Moses and the prophets, they all speak of me. I'm just the fulfillment of God's word right there in front of you. Now watch it here. Let it be, so when you reject the word of God, you're rejecting God. That's what you're doing. You're rejecting God. We judge the word of God to be inaccurate, unreliable, and thus untrue. We judge the word of God against the standard of our own intellect and reason and knowledge. Well, that can't be true. Well, that's probably not true. It was written a long time ago. A bunch of men put this together. How could it be true? And whoa, wow, that must be a contradiction, because I don't understand what it says there. And you know how I've got all knowledge and all wisdom. And I can think as well as God can. So if God writes a book and I don't understand it, then it must not be true, because I got it all figured out. I mean, that's the way we think. Just discount the word of God. Number 8, those that refuse to receive and believe the word of God will have the word of God used against them. Now look, watch it, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He says this: you may think it's no big deal to reject God and to reject the word of God, and that you can get away with it. You know as well as I do, we have all read something along the way and said, I don't like that, and we closed the book and read someplace else. You know what we just said? I don't like this part, so I will refuse it. But you'll find you go someplace else in the book, and all of a sudden you don't not understand much of anything. Either you go to another part of the Bible and it says the same thing, get into your heart on the same issue, or it doesn't say anything much to you. You know why? You've rejected the light that you have. You got to walk in the light that you have while you have the light. If you're not going to walk in the light he gave you, he's not going to give you more light. If he does give you any more light, just to bring you back to the other spot there where he was, I got on my GPS in my car. Every once in a while, and you know how it is, I'm trying to get out of a certain spot, or I didn't know how to. I got into it. I wanted to get back out, or whatever. And once I get to a certain place, I know where I am, and so forth. And I'll set like home on there, and I'll get to a certain place, and all of a sudden it's going to take me some down. For some reason, it takes me down all the way. If I'm coming from the north here, it wants to take me all the way down 83 and across 30 to get to my house. Now, it's a whole lot easier to come down here there's several ones, but like the Lewisberry exit, and jump across the Lewisberry and hit all Alpine, come down here, right across the front of the church and down the back, and it's good. There's no lights, there's no traffic, you keep moving, and so I'll take that, and I know that that's a better route. But as soon as I take that exit off the 83, she starts saying, all right, make a left here and here. You know what you're trying to do? Get me turning around and go right back to where I came from. Trying to get me back on 83 to go back down where she said so. And I refuse. Now, the fact is, sometimes God does it. He tells us what we're going to do, but I don't like that. So we go someplace else in the Bible and read. And sure enough, the GPS of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, say, go back to the same spot where you left off. You took that wrong turn. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go over here. And he comes back. And he does it time after time after time. In front of you, turn her off. I know where I am. I don't need to hear this. We're done, lady. And I'm going to go home the way I want to go home. Now, frankly, I think it was right. But when we do that to the Holy Spirit, it's wrong. We make a turn, the Holy Spirit said, recalculating. Turn you around here and bring you back to the spot where you're supposed to be. No, 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 no. Come back over. No, 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 no. There's one place up here, and it tries to take you back, take me. I mean, every little road, I mean, every block is trying to, I'll pass that one. It says, recalculating, turn right. I go, recalculating, turn right. Recalculating, turn right. Recalculating, turn right. And you know what? After a while, if you go far enough, she kind of says, okay, go ahead. She does. All of a sudden, she sees the route I'm going, and she says, well, go ahead. Go ahead. That's what happened to Balaam. You know the story of Balaam? He was Moabites wanted him to curse Israel, and God says, well, no. He goes back and asks him again, and God says, well, no. He goes back and asks him again, God says, no. He asks him again, all right, go ahead. And then the donkey talks to him. What are you doing? Sometimes we don't believe the word of God is because we're not believing God. We have forgotten this is the word of God. That's not just a nice saying. That's not just preacher talk. That's just not, okay, I've got to say, I'm not obligated by some Baptist association to make sure I say that every so often. Or they're going to take my retirement away or something because if I don't preach what they want to preach, so I got to put it in there. No, it's the truth. It's the word of God. We got to deal with it as the word of God. When we reject the word of God, we're rejecting God himself. Watch this. We think there's no big deal to reject God and the word of God, and we can get away with it. Watch this. The word of God is going to outlive you. It's going to outlast us. And at the end, he just said it, it's going to be our judge. Now, we've been judging the word of God all these years. But one of these days, he says, the word of God is going to be our judge. We will be judged by the very word of God that we have been judging and found wanting. We think we found it wanting. Letter B, the word of God does not change whether you reject it or receive it. It's forever settled in heaven. Was it Psalm 119:86? Is that right? Does that sound about right? Psalm 119:86, is that right? I don't know. I think it is. Psalm 119:86. Nope, that's not it. Anyway, it's there. It's forever settled. It's forever settled in heaven. The reference isn't all forever settled in here, but it's settled. Now, letter C. Those that refuse to receive the truth of the word will be judged by the word. The word of God is still the word of God. The word of God is still true whether you receive it and believe it or whether you reject it. And if you refused the word of God, you will be judged by the very word that you rejected. Revelation 20. I at least give you the reference there. It says this. Revelation 20:11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now, when it talks about dead, it means those separated from God for eternity. Now, if you're the dead in Christ, is a different bunch. All right? That's us. If you know Christ, your Savior, we have already got our rewards at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We're alive in Christ. Our bodies were dead, but we're the dead in Christ. These are just the dead. Now, saw the dead, small and great, doesn't mean, in other words, you're a big guy in town or a little guy in town, President of the United States or the homeless man down on the corner. I saw the dead man, dead and the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The Word of God. You think you're going to make it by keeping the law? Well, let's just see. Let's start with number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you ever trusted something more than God? Have you ever looked for something else to provide for you other than God? Break the law at one point, you're guilty of all. Done. In fact, I don't think he'll do it that way, though. All right? Let's see all the time. Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? How many times are you going to see that? They say when you die, your life flashes before your eyes. I think when we stand before God, our life is going to flash before our eyes. And he's going to say, let's see if you've sinned or not. Now, by the way, you won't have to do that with if you know Christ your Savior. It's all because you start confessing your sins. Well, listen, that's already taken care of. What sin are you talking about? I remember them no more. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found and written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let God be true and every man a liar. Number 9. Justice will be served if we do not take advantage of mercy. Justice will be served if we do not take advantage of mercy. When God speaks, usually the problem is we decide whether we want to hear him talk or not. We have no excuse. So toss that out. Well, I didn't know there was a God. You walked outside. No excuse. Refused to glorify him as God. Refused. And when we do hear the word of God, so it doesn't make me feel very good. No, it's giving you the information that you need so that he can save your soul. Now, if you don't make use of the information, take advantage of his mercy, then what you get is justice. See, we cry, I want justice. You don't want justice. God is a just God. He can't let you off with any of your sins without letting everybody else off with their sins. Watch. He can't let you off with your sins without also letting off Hitler. You would say, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. So you break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. So if he lets you off into heaven, then he let Hitler and Stalin and, Ted Bundy and let's see, who else could we come up with? Charles Manson. I was trying to think of that name there. You know? I'm not gonna say that. It'll be on the CD. But, you know, Attila the Hun, you know, if he's going to let you off, he's going to let everybody else off too. But if he's going to be just, then he's going to be clear across the board. Now, if we come to him begging mercy, well, then he can justify that because he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He would that none should perish but also come to repentance. So we're willing to repent and come to him. He says, I'm willing to save you. He says, that's part of it. That's part of the deal. So some folks think that the Lord will feel sorry for them and give them another chance once they see that everything he said was actually true. But that's not what's going to happen. Listen, it's nothing personal. In fact, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but the choice is ours, and it's up to us to make the choice to accept the offer and the justice we'll be served. What we need to do is be willing to hear the voice of God. How do you know the specific voice of God? What's the will of God? I'll say these three things, I'm done. Surrender to His will. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The life that I have, whatever I have left, is God's. If He wouldn't want me to do it, I won't do it. If there's something specific He wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Two, decide you're going to accept His will with a good attitude. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. If I really believe God is who He says He is, and I believe every good and precious gift comes from the Father of lights, from above, that I know that and everything He wants is for me, that I know He's for me, that he's looking across the earth to and fro to see who He can bless, that when He makes it clear what I need to do, I'll do it with a good attitude because I know it's best for me. Number three, decide you're going to do it, do His will, and be a doer of His will, not a hearer only. I really believe, I believe if you do that, and then stay in the book, stay in church, listen to the Word of God, read it, give yourself to Him in prayer, which is really just something we're supposed to do anyway, He'll reveal Himself. And when the voice of God speaks, I think you'll know it. He doesn't. Get mad at me about this if you want. He doesn't have to tell me everything. There's some things I knew my mama wanted me to do when my mama didn't want me to do. She didn't have to tell me. Right? Well, I didn't know you wanted me, to flush the toilet every time. I didn't know you wanted me, I'm sure you did. God knows that things that you know. So we can't play dumb with God. But there are some things, who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to work? Should I serve in a ministry? What ministry should I work in? Where do I how do I balance ministry and my family right now? I think He tells you those things because it's going to be different for you that He didn't put that in the book. I mean, I got to the point where when before I came up here, I wish there was some place in the Bible. Honestly, I really did. With all my heart, I wish I could open a book and say, Sterling, in 2003, you are to. I really wish, because I was dead serious. You tell me, you write on the, honest, I remember saying something, Lord, just write on the billboard, Sterling Walsh is supposed to, fill in blank, wherever that is, Lord, I'll do it. I meant it with all my heart. Now, you know in your heart when you say, I mean it, but better not say, I took a deep breath and I meant it. I said, Lord, if it means you're going to send me to Africa to be a missionary someplace. Listen, I like living the dispensation of running water, indoor plumbing, electric, air conditioning, all those kind of things, Walmarts. I mean, I like that. I really like that. I do. But, so help me as God is my witness. And so grateful He didn't. But if He had said, Sterling, there's a place down there where there's 500 people that have never heard your word and you're the man to do it, I would have gone. I would have gone. I was so dead serious. And when He told me to come up here, just like, or someplace else along goes that up. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. And some of the folks, you were here. There was issues going on. Miss Lois? He remembers all those things. There was inner things going on. There was financial issues. He didn't remember bringing enough money in to pay the bills. There was personal issues between people. And And there was a doctrinal thing they were trying to deal with there. And there was, some of our folks know what we were getting into. And I went, I went to two other places, and they were nice little churches, didn't have any of those issues going on. But it's just like, no, I'm not supposed to be there. And it was like God says, well, this is your place up there. But you know what? It was okay. Because when he gives you the, when you're yielded to him, then he gives you the grace to do what he's called you to do. Even if it's something you thought you'd never do in your life. He gives you the grace to do it. He guides you, and then he guides you and provides and takes care of things. I'm just saying, you got to yield yourself to him. Listen for the voice of God. He will speak to that little inside, little small voice. You're not going to hear something, I don't think. But I think if you give yourself totally over to him, he says you'll seek him and find him when you search for him with all your heart. Lord, we got to stop. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in it. Thank you for guiding us and directing us. Lord, forgive us when we kind of harden our hearts and close our ears and then fret against you because we feel like you haven't told us what to do. Most times, it's usually we haven't heard what we want to hear yet. Sometimes I think we're going to, some folks are pulling the lever on the slot machine, hoping it'll come up with a winner that they like. Just keep pulling, hoping God will finally do what they want. I said, I'm going to take what you give me. Bless our folks here. Heads are bowed.